Amen. For that which he has for us this day, this moment, and this setting. So let us, amen, be attentive. Pray God's blessing upon the speaker and the message that comes to comfort and encourage us. Brought to us through the speaker, Elder William Liverman. Let us receive him and the grace message with a hearty amen.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Amen. Even those that may be on their way.
Yes.
Thank the good Lord for another day. Amen. Amen. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for, oh God, another day that you've given us, Father. We thank you for the gospel, the grace of God, that liberating gospel that gives us direction, focus into your eternal workings. Oh God, we just thank you, Lord. Father, we now ask you to breathe upon the message today, Father. Oh God, breathe upon the message via the here in Ferndale, via the internet, whatever medium source you have, Father. Let your people be, oh God, strengthened through Christ. Let Christ be magnified. And Lord, everything we do, let it point to Christ. And Father, right now, many of your people are going through many different things, but we ask that you, oh God, enlighten the heart of us. Let them know that everything is always been, oh God. And that's the liberation that we have in Christ. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Oh God, we thank you for again blessing our pastor as he continues to recover. We thank you, Lord, for, oh God, just the strength that you've given him on a daily basis. Bless all those, even others that may be going through any infirmity. We know that everything is working by your plan. And we thank you, Lord. Bless the word of God today. And we be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Is everybody excited about Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, how can you not be excited about Jesus? I don't know about y'all. I'm excited. Amen. Every day the Lord gives me, I'm more excited about Jesus. Amen. Somebody say, you don't have to be that excited. Wait a minute. You are one step closer to where you've always been. Amen. And you can't be excited about that? Come on. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Always have been there, church, but in manifestation, in those sequential testimony depictions, we're one step closer by way of actualize what God has always been, for we always have been, and that is what?
In Christ.
Always. No. When I get to heaven, then I'll be in Christ. No, wait. You, but now are you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, what we're going to do, oh, pray for me, because what we're going to do is, you remember those that were here, amen, we, again, in terms of the kingdom and grace messages, amen, which so many of God's people are still confused. They just, you know, they are confused regarding these messages, and I just felt led to kind of do a little brief review today, but we're going to still, Lord be willing, to kind of tie this in to the imperatives, the indicative and the imperative, because it's all based on rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. And knowing what God has written to you and for you. Amen? Amen. So now, let's go right into our scripture. Dividing the kingdom gospel and the grace gospel as it relates to the indicative and the imperative. Because they both ride on those messages. But you need to know where your focus is, church, based upon this present age, the age of grace. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, very familiar scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul's writing to Timothy here. Amen. Very familiar passage. Now, Paul, now let me just share something with you regarding this scripture. Paul constantly instructed Timothy in terms of the mystery. Because look at his background. You know, Paul's letters to Timothy were a little different from Titus because they had different backgrounds. And Paul knew that Timothy, again, mother, grandmother, Eunice, in other words, he knew that based upon his training that he was trained in the scriptures. So Paul had to constantly tell Timothy, What you see me preach and teach, that's what you do. And don't do anything else. Because if you do anything else, you're going to be confused. Now, Paul, somebody said, Paul was against the Old Testament. No, he wasn't. But it's just that you don't go there, church, for directions. You go there for information. But you don't go there for doctrine. And that's what confuses a lot of God's people. They jump over there in Psalms, they read something in Psalms, and they try to ride doctrine on that. Whatever. It doesn't work. Cause confusion, okay? All right, Deacon Gavin is our reader. Okay, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
From the King James Version, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm reading where... First Timothy 2:15.
Second Timothy. I'm sorry, Second Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Second Timothy chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Second Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 15, from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Study.
To
shew thyself approved unto God.
Mm-hmm.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
The word has to be rightly divided, church. Divide. You see, when you divide those in math, again, we're not talking about those taking, you know, basic math tells you when you divide, you sectionalize one component from the other. You have a division there. Now, in the Greek, if you have a good Greek context, it'll tell you cut it straight. Draw a line of demarcation around these messages. Now, when you do this, you can now, church, go to the Bible for information based on where you're reading. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 15. Keep this. Paul tells Timothy, cut straight the word of God. Now, what's the benefit of dividing the Bible? Cut it straight. What's the benefit? Let's go to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, verse 4. Yes. Deacon Gavin, again, I read. Why don't you go and read verse 1 through 4?
We're reading now from the 15th chapter of Romans, beginning verse 1, King James Version. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak,
mm-hmm.
and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification.
Mm-hmm.
For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Verse 4. Mm-hmm. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
Oh, have mercy. Keep going.
That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Church, do you know you can read the Bible? You can take one word and it'll throw the whole scripture off. You can take one word, you can call a verb an adjective, and it'll throw the scripture off. You can call a noun a pronoun, it'll throw it off. In other words, you have to make sure, this is an example, one word that just throws the whole scripture off. In other words, when Deep mentioned that word learning, that's not in the original Greek. That word learning, church, the things that were written before, aforetime, were written for our, in fact, I think most of you have an interlinear Greek. You look inside there, it's for our teaching. In fact, if you see learning, they cross it out. Teaching. The things that were written aforetime, based upon what we know today, you go back there to teach. Now, I'm going to read a statement from the pastor's pen a few weeks ago, and it states that, if you notice that statement, we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Greek noun, theoskaia, meaning teaching, rather than the common translation, learning. Now, I'm going to read this twice, what's coming up now. This means that what is read in prior recordings are from the knowledge base of what is presently known. I'm going to say that again. What we read in the Old Covenant, Kingdom, Old Testament, you go back there for corroboration, but you are reading this, the prior recordings are written from the knowledge base of what is presently known. What we know now, church, we have more information today. So you take the arena of what we know today, more information, which you take the light that we have today and shine the greater light on the lesser light, and you can understand what you're reading. You won't be confused. Now, I'm going very slow. What is presently known? Well, one thing I guarantee you, what is this is presently known, that is this. If you do not divide the Word of God, the Bible, according to dispensations and covenants, you'll be confused. If you just miss the messages, church, one day you'll say, one day you think you're lost. Another day you say, well, I don't need to be baptized. And you go over there and Matthew, no, Jesus said, we've got to be baptized. So, hey, whatever Jesus said, I'm going to go with that. Why? You're missing the messages. And the reason, I was thinking, Pastor, I said, why is it that God's people, why are they having so many problems and missing the messages? You see, what happens is this. We're all creatures of habit. You read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Kingdom, the kingdom apostles, and then you have Acts. And then right there, after Acts, where you have Romans, so what happens, people take a narrative in the cogitation, and they say, well, whatever is in Acts, the next book is what? Romans, so I just, go with that. The problem is that, let me say this, the books, the way they are arranged, church, they are not arranged the way they should be. In fact, Pastor wrote an article a few years ago on the correct apportionment of the Bible. And you can look that, for those on the internet, you can download that document. It tells you how the Bible should be arranged. Because if you read the Bible the way they are arranged traditionally, you would begin to automatically, you'd be missing the messages. Because you say, well, the next book is here, so, it has to follow the same thought conveyance. Let me give you an example. What I did, we're going to have a little spiritual exercise here. Bear with me. So that we can have the right thinking in terms of these covenants. Law, kingdom law, times past, but now, ages to come. Church, you have to have a line of demarcation around these messages. So here's a little exercise. In your mind, let's say the kingdom apostles. The kingdom apostles wrote the kingdom books. I mean, that's simple. So, these books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay. All right. Acts. Now, Acts is a unique book. Acts, church, starts out with kingdom. First part of Acts, the day of Pentecost, kingdom all the way. But as you move through Acts, you're going to transition from kingdom to grace. So Acts is really a transition book. Amen. It's a transition book. In fact, you read the first part of Acts, Peter is a dominant personality. Peter. And the day of Pentecost, he all round about Peter. As you move through that book, it's almost like Peter just drops off the earth. And then, who is Paul, the Apostle Paul, is the focal point. Why? Because you're transitioning from what? Kingdom to grace. Now, right after Acts, here's the problem. People, the religious systems, you go Romans. So now you say, well, I just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And by the way, John is probably more in alignment with Paul's gospel, the message, the mystery, than the other apostles. Number one, he lived 90 plus, and when John was around, a lot of the other apostles, God took them out of the matrix. Amen. That's why John stated, the light came to the apostle. John, he said, wait a minute. He saw the whole view. That's why he said, for the law was given to Moses, But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law, what? Old covenant, new covenant, grace covenant. Divide the messages. Now, so the way they should be read, church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay, Acts. Then after, should be James, not for over there in Romans, because James was a kingdom apostle. So you should, it should be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. These are all the kingdom apostles. And when you go there, all the messages are consistent. You're going to go there, you're going to see signs and wonder. You're going to talk, you're going to see water baptism. You're going to see the, you're going to see all, everything in these books. They are what? Consistent. Now let me say this. See, here's a problem that a lot of people have. They say, I dare you, L, you saying the books are arranged. But let me say this. When we say the books are arranged, they're not arranged properly. You understand? See, when we say understand, church, do you know there are mistakes in the Bible? God's word is true. But when we say there are mistakes in the Bible, let me say this. God's word is perfect. God's word is perfect. But now, let me ask you a question. When you read a statement that, let's say, for example, let's go to Romans. Chapter 1, first it says, Romans chapter 1 says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Period. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Now, I tell you what, let's go there. Let's go there. I didn't want to say this. It wasn't lined up. But let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 8. Romans 8. Real quick. Romans 8. Romans 8:1, Deacon. Read Romans 8:1, please.
I'm reading from Romans 8, verse 1, King James Version first. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now that's the King James translation, church, which was written in 1611. King James, by the King James. It was, in other words, it was written during that time, during the reign of King James. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the King James translation. But let me ask you this. Was the Bible alive before King James?
Way before.
The Bible has always been, the Bible is the Word of God. So the English translator, by the way, let me say this. My favorite translation is the King James. So I'm not beating up the King James. It's my favorite translation. But I'm saying what we want to convey is that when we say that there are some things in the Bible that shouldn't be there, it doesn't take away from God's word. We just give you an example. Let's read this in the original Greek.
Now Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1, from the interlineal Greek text. Know then now condemnation to the in Christ Jesus.
Wait a minute, what about who walk not after the flesh? We just read this in the King. In the Greek?
It is not in the original Greek.
See, church, in the Greek, it's not there. Now, why is it there in the King James, but not there in the Greek? What's the older translation, the King James or the Greek? The Greek. So in the original Greek, church, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. That was what it should have been, according to the what? Greek text, which was around before the King James. Now, let's say this one step further. If you were in, I repeat, I said this many times, if you, when Jesus walked the earth, now if you're Jesus, God, Jesus knew all, knows all things, he's God, right? Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. If you taught English in Jesus' day, 2,000 years ago, the disciples, because again, they were human, they would say, what's that? They would not, what? They would not have understood the English language as we today, because the English language that time did not exist. But the Greek exists. The Bible was originally written for a church in Greek. That's why in the original Greek it states, there's therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, what? Period. So So when we make the statement, I'm going to qualify this. When we say the mistakes, we're not saying the mistakes according to God's word. God's word is what? Perfect. But religious systems have inserted different things in the Bible. And some, I always thought about this. Why did God allow that? You know why? To let you know that whatever men can, what, in man's thinking to try to mess up, it doesn't take anything away from what? The word of God. Nothing, it doesn't take anything away from the word of God. So, going back to what? We just listed the kingdom apostles, the kingdom books. Now you have the grace books written by the apostle Paul. We know these 14 epistles, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. Again, church, you have the kingdom books and the grace books. And you will never understand the word of God if you miss these books. Amen? Now, the kingdom books are directed to the commonwealth of Israel. The grace books, the mystery, that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul, who is the recipient? The body of Christ. The commonwealth of Israel, the body of Christ. Peter was the leader of the kingdom church. The Apostle Paul was the leader of the grace church. And somebody said, I thought there was one. Wait a minute, there's one. Glad you mentioned that. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to say it again. Peter was the leader of the kingdom church. Somebody say, wait a minute, it's only one church. The Apostle Paul was the leader of the grace church. Okay, let's read this, okay? Galatians 2, chapter 6. Read 1 through 7. Galatians 2, 1 through 7.
Now we're reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, King James Version. Then 14 years after, says Paul, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, make it no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me.
Now here's the Apostle Paul, the writer of Galatians. Here's the summation, church, of what Paul stated regarding these messages. Okay, Deacon Gavin.
But, verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
The gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul. The uncircumcision, we can say the Gentiles. The gospel of the Gentiles. Now, I think I see everyone here is a Gentile. Ethnicity-wise. All right? Now, we know the gospel. In the gospel of grace, there's male nor female. There's Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. But the recipients in terms of ethnicity, most recipients are Gentiles. That's why many writers say Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And what? Peter was the apostle to the Jews. So you have the body of Christ, and now you have what? The Commonwealth of Israel. So, here's the problem. Why a lot of God's people miss the messages. They're reading over there in the book of, let's say, Matthew. And when Jesus said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Matthew said, repent and be baptized. He meant exactly what he said.
Yes. Yes.
Repent and be water baptized. Over there in Acts 2:38. Repent and what? Be water baptized. What? Those messages are consistent, what? In the kingdom gospel. So don't try to veer away from that. It is consistent. Water baptism is consistent. But now, that's going to bump heads. You go over there in Corinthians and see the Corinthians being very carnal. They were taking baptism over from kingdom to grace. And Paul's focus in that message was, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, how are you going to reconcile this? On one account, Peter, James, John, you be all the kingdom apostles. Go be water baptized. That's the directive under the kingdom message. But then Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, what people say? The Bible contradicts itself. Church, I'm sure we can agree the Bible is consistent. The Bible is consistent. And the only reason we had this little spiritual exercise is that you to see the kingdom books. So that when you read now, hey, amen. When you read the Bible, just know when you read in one of these the kingdom books written by the kingdom apostles, you're only going to get the kingdom message. Because that's the directive under the kingdom messianic gospel. But now when you go over to the mystery, grace, mystery, and truth, the fact that you were saved in eternity, the fact that everything was actualized by God's decree, the fact that you're not moving trying to get saved, you were already saved. You don't get that information in the other writings. Stay in your gospel where you're going to get more information upon the eternal workings of God. And when we say stay in your gospel, we're not saying don't read the other parts of the Bible. But just don't go there for doctrine. If you go there for doctrine, one day you can think you're going to hell. And when our gospel tells you that you were sealed until the day of redemption, you were always saved. You're not trying to get saved. You were always saved. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. And we are not, again, the whole Genesis through Revelation, church, is the Word of God. But the point we need to remember, in those covenants, I'm just flipping over here. If I flip right now, I just flip the 2 Kings. You go read 2 Kings, you're only going to get the information in the old law. Forget about trying to get, interpret, actualization by God's decree in eternity from 2 Kings. God did not reveal it. In fact, the Paul's epistles, grace, mystery, truth, was not even revealed in the prior recordings. Now, you're going to go there trying to understand saving in eternity, and you read it from the parts of the Bible where you have limited information. That would be like someone has they want to study advanced trigonometry, and then the teacher's going to give you a second grade math book. You say, wait a minute, no. Listen, all you're going to get in that second grade math book is what's set up in that curriculum, and that's what? Based on second grade information. Our gospel has more information in its present evil age. So now, looking at that, you have to understand, again, that Peter, James, John, the kingdom books, church, all the messages are they are all the same in terms of information. You're going to go there, you're going to see signs and wonders. You have read Revelation, what? Signs and wonders, miracles. You're going to see tongues, water baptism. They're all consistent under the umbrella of the kingdom gospel. You go there and read grace, Paul's writings. Everything actualized by God's decree, saving eternity. You're secure in Christ. Christ is our life. All consistent. All 14 of those epistles are consistent because they are written from the arena of more information. Now here's what really caused confusion. In Matthew through Revelation, tradition told us that it's the old covenant and the new covenant. That's the way. So what we do, they say, well, it's a new covenant, so I can read anything in these 27 books, it's a new covenant. Wrong. Embedded in those 27 books are two covenants. You have the new covenant and you have the grace covenant. And you have to draw a line of demarcation from between the new covenant and the grace covenant. And when you do this, church, you can, you know what? It'd be a delight to go to the Bible and read, because you're reading for what? Correct interpretation based on what's revealed in those covenants. Now, somebody said, well, no, the whole Bible, I just say, you know, the whole Bible, even Peter. Peter realized that, what, Paul's message was different. Peter. We're going there right now. In fact, God has given the enlightenment to many of his people that the messages are different. Yes. I remember, some of you may remember, one of my favorite TV anchors, I think must have been 10 years ago, Peter Jennings. God calls him, Peter Jennings, I love Channel 7. You remember Peter Jennings, God calls him. He did a review on the Bible before, in fact, a few months before he passed. And the essence of the focal point was what? Paul's writings. And Peter, and again, he's a TV anchorman. He just went through the study of the scriptures. And you know what his conclusion was? I'm not talking about a preacher, church. I'm talking about a TV anchorman. He concluded by saying that no matter your viewpoints, and I'm giving a summation, Peter Jennings now, he said no matter what your viewpoints are regarding scripture, there's no doubt that we need to conclude that the Apostle Paul's writings are different. Different. I didn't say a bishop. I said Peter Jennings. Said the writings are different. I said, Lord, have mercy. Now, I don't know Peter Jennings' religious background, but I said, Lord, you gave him more light than most preachers. And some corner preacher got up there. Now, he had a smoking problem. He died of lung cancer, Somebody said, that was... I heard people say this. That's why him chastised. That's why God chastised him because he came against the other parts of the Bible. No, he didn't. They weren't listening. All he was saying was that, the only thing he was saying, Paul's writings are different because they are written from the eternal viewpoint. Let's go to, since we're talking about Peter and Paul, let's go to Peter. See? Let's go to 2 Peter 3:15. See, now notice, church, we started from the vantage point of our gospel. Now let's go to something. Peter says something very interesting in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now here's what we're going to do. I want you to read that. Just read 15 for right now, and then we're going to connect this to something. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, King James Version. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Okay, notice, Peter said that read that one more time, please.
An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Now, church, notice this. In that book, it seems like Peter is using a standalone verse when he stated that our beloved brother Paul's writings are hard to be understood. Peter wrote what the other kingdom apostles wrote regarding the coming messianic kingdom. In other words, let's go back. Let's go to 2 Peter. Again, let's go to Peter. And go back up to the 10th verse. Go back up to the 10th verse.
Now 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Okay.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Keep going.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, mm-hmm. looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Now, church, notice, Peter talks about, from 10 to 14, he talks about the new heavens, the new earth. And now notice, what Peter talked about was actually known even in the Old Testament prophets. You go back, you refer to all the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Joel. They all, God showed them a day where Jesus would set up the messianic kingdom world on the earth. So not only, now we talk about the kingdom apostles, which were looking for the messianic kingdom, it's also consistent with the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Daniel. They were also, prophesied of this kingdom. But here's the interesting point. In this point is this, church, that the kingdom was going to be set up on the earth. It seems like as if Peter just switched gears and talks about Paul's writings. It's hard to understand. What's the connection? It seems like, on one hand, he's talking about the new heavens, the new earth, and then it's almost like, wait a minute, Paul's writings are hard to understand. Church, this is all one narrative. Because if you look at what Peter states in 15, he says, again, read that again.
2 Peter 3, verse 15, and the count that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things to be understood.
Speaking in them of these things, church, what things? What things did Peter say that's hard to understand? Go back up to the early verses, and he talks about the new heavens, the new earth, and one day Jesus is going to set up the messianic kingdom. Somebody said, what's so hard to understand about that? They already knew that that was going to happen. Why did Peter say that in Paul's writings, some things are hard to understand, and he connected this to the new heavens and the new earth? Well, number one is this. Peter talked about the new heavens and the new earth being a place, a physical place, that God is going to one day bring down from the heavens to the earth. So that's all in agreement with what? The kingdom apostles, because they saw this. God showed it to them. But one day, Peter said, and Paul in all of his epistles, one day, I don't know how, whether Peter was doing, whatever he was doing, Peter said in all of Paul's epistles, Peter read something that he said, this is hard to understand. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 1-4. On one account, the message of the kingdom gospel was that the new heavens and the new earth is a place. And Peter said in Paul's writings, some things are hard to understand. Some of these things, what things? The things that he just said in verse 10 through 14. And what are some of these, in terms of comparison, what did Peter record? And what did Paul say, Ephesians 1, verse 1 through 4?
Now, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him.
In him.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Okay. Now, church, what happened? In Ephesians 1:4, it talks about we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1, in chapter 1, it talks about we abide in the heavenness. And where is the heavenness? In Christ. Peter, James, John, we just gave you the kingdom apostles. You go there to Isaiah. You go there in the Old Testament prophets. They knew that one day this beautiful place. By the way, we're not wonderful. In fact, we're going to be there. Somebody said, you mean the body of Christ is going to be in the New Jerusalem? Will Christ be there? Will Christ be there? Will Christ be there? Give the Lord a hand. Christ is going to be there. Amen. But here's the key. We'll be there to the degree that before Christ would be there. But the focal point in the kingdom gospel is this physical, beautiful place that's going to come down from the heavens to the earth. They were looking for, in fact, right now, even today, after the rapture, God is going to shift his focus to Israel. They are looking for a physical place. Peter read over there in Ephesians, wait a minute, the physical place out in the body of Christ, the heavenness, we are in the heavenness in Christ. We do not reside in a place, we reside in a person, the person of Christ. So when Peter read this, he said, they knew it was a place, church. But in the body of Christ, it's not a place. We are in the heavenness. What's our heavenness? In Christ. Our heaven is in Christ. The kingdom gospel heaven is an actual physical place. Our heaven is in Christ. When Peter read that, wait a minute, you mean he read that the heaven is in Christ? Oh, this is hard to understand. This is just hard to understand. And he closed the chapter by stating, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, this is so deep, you got to grow in it. Come on, you got to grow.
He said, it's all connected. You read that on the surface, you think that's one. It's separate. It's almost like Peter's using a standalone verse. And one thing I learned in Bible class, years ago, prophetic class, never use standalone verses. They're dangerous. Never use standalone verses.
So why did Peter say that the beloved Apostle Paul, his writings are hard to understand? You read that, that's all connected in the New Jerusalem, the New Heaven, the New Earth, a physical abode. In fact, their mind, a place where we'll one day be in heaven. And if Paul's writings, no, it's not you what? One day being in heaven, you in the heavens right now in Christ. Right now, but now are you in Christ Jesus. Not in the future, not in the past, but now are we in Christ Jesus. So when Peter, understand now, God gave the Apostle Paul more enlightenment than the Apostle Peter. But thank God the Apostle Peter, he said, wait a minute, he said, this is hard to understand. And so for people to say, I heard people say, well, Peter and Paul preach the same thing. Y'all heard that. Peter Paul preached the same thing. Peter preached what was given to him that was the kingdom messianic gospel. Paul preached what was given to him that was the gospel of the grace of God. Two different gospels. Still the word of God now. But you just have more information on what? In our gospel. Somebody said, well, you know, Jesus, I still wish I was back there in Jesus' day. No, you wouldn't. I heard them say, I wish I was back there in Jesus' day. I would have shaken Jesus' hand just to touch Jesus. You know what? If you were back there, you say you can call, you can touch Jesus. I'm just paraphrasing. He would say, get away from me. He would tell you, get away from me. Somebody said, no, Jesus, my Savior. In that covenant. He had no, the Lord had no relationship with Gentiles. So you saying you're going to wrap around Jesus? You better wrap around Jesus right now in this day of grace. Yes, you can come to Jesus 24/7 because we're living in the day of grace, the day of the gospel, the grace of God. You can come to Jesus 24/7 in this present church age. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. But somebody said, I thought God is love. Yeah, God is love, but God operates through covenants and dispensation arrangements. Gentiles had no dealings with God. But somebody said, I know some in the Old Testament, I know some Gentiles that got blessed. I know some that got healed. Yes, you're right. But they were not healed because they had a covenantal relationship with God. They got healed because it was God's decree. They got healed because it was decreed in the church for them to be healed. But they didn't get healed because they had a relationship with Jesus. Amen. They got healed because it was a decree in eternity. And when that appeared on a matrix, even a Gentile at that time, God manifests his love to them. But it wasn't done based on any type of governmental covenant arrangement. Because Paul says, for we were dead in our trespasses and sins. One day time passed, we were cut off from Israel. We were cut off without hope. But God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, when he loved you, he loved you before the foundation of the world. You are loved by God. And people get hurt trying to... Praise me, Elder, I'm trying to make it. Trying to make it. You've already made it. Come on. Trying to make it. You've already made it. So I'm going to close on this. In the kingdom gospel, the line of demarcation. One more scripture. Philippians 1:10. People say, well, the Bible is talking about different. Let's look at this. Philippians 1:10, D. Philippians 1, verse 10.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, King James Version. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ.
Notice, for those of you that have a Greek text, church, the things that are excellent, that's okay to a degree, but it's not deep enough. In fact, a good Greek translation tells you approving things that are different. And then in a very good concordance, it'll tell you right in parentheses, and that's a different, it'll say of a higher value rating. Paul, the 14 epistles of Paul have a higher value rating than the other parts of the Bible. But I repeat again, Thank God the whole Bible is true. I was reading Psalms the other day, Sister Ruth. I was blessed. I mean, I was saying that wrath of David. I was reading about David's life, and I said, wow. You know, so, hey, man, look, I go back there, but I'm going back there based upon the knowledge that I have. I said, David, one time, he said, Lord, see, David messed up so bad. See, don't go back there for doctrine. Because when David messed up, when David's weakest point, he said, oh, Lord, take not the Spirit from me. You would think that based upon the information David had, you would think that you can backfire. But our gospel tells us that you were saved in eternity, you are sealed, you cannot backslide because you have always been where you always have been, and that is in Christ. But coming from a standpoint of limited information, you think that when you blow it, when you mess up, you're going to go to hell. And sad to say, many of our leaders are taught that.
Yes.
And we're not, amen. Now, I'm going to close on summarize something. Things that are different. I'm going to close on some things that are different as you're looking at the grace gospel and the kingdom gospel. What are some of the things that are different, church? Deke just mentioned some things that are different. Here are some of these things. You have to understand the line of demarcation in the kingdom gospel. Water baptism is the root of the day. That's the kingdom gospel. In the grace gospel, by one spirit were we all baptized. In the kingdom gospel, you were baptized in time. In the grace gospel, you were baptized in eternity. In the kingdom gospel, it's accompanied by signs and wonder. Grace gospel, signless. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to prophecy. In the grace gospel, Jesus Christ is preached according to mystery. In the kingdom gospel, the kingdom message was known. Peter, James, John, it was known by the prophets and the kingdom apostles. The grace gospel message was unknown until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. In the kingdom gospel. The kingdom gospel is amazing. I read that last night. It's Jesus came out of the gate stating, repent and believe the gospel. That's the message of the kingdom gospel. It's what? Repent. So in the kingdom gospel, in the law, they are driven by what? Imperatives to what? Commandments. The grace gospel, the language of the grace gospel, is the indicative who you are in Christ.
Right.
What God did for you in eternity.
Right.
Who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Many of God's people don't know who they are.
No.
And the language of grace is to tell people who they are. Mm-hmm. Who are you? You are saved before the foundation of the world. One day you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved you. Tell the saints that you are, having been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Tell the saints that you were sometimes far off, but you are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. So what should you tell the saints? Yes, there's a degree for the imperative, but the imperative should be embedded under the indicative. Tell the saints who you are, and once you understand who you are, you identify with that and just act right. No, I can't. The Lord calls me. I can't do this because this is not identifying with Christ. And it's not a matter you're not doing it. God calls you. God has shut down that depravity. But the goal of grace is to identify Christ. But the foundation to identify Christ, you flood the saints with the indicative. Tell them who they are. Tell the saints. If God be for you, who can be against you? Tell the saints. If the whole world is against you, Christ, you and the Christ is more than enough. You and Christ is a majority. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Tell the saints that God always calls you to triumph in Christ. But if you don't do this, you'll be flooding the saints with a lot of commands. That's the language of the old covenant. I read it so many times. God said, you have sinned against the Holy One of Israel. As if God didn't know that, right? Now, but some places, people go to church. The first minute, pastor said, okay, church, you sinned, y'all sinned against God. Come on, let's get, so he gives you the whip of the law. No, you tell the church who they are in Christ. And by the way,
Some, because sometimes people listen what they want to hear, listen to. Paul write to Timothy, Paul write to Titus and says what? With this knowledge, one account Titus stated, hey, we were with this knowledge of salvation, you were saved before time. And when is before time? Eternity. Now, you know, embedded in the fact that, now Paul writes to Titus, embedded in the fact that you were saved before time in eternity, right in the same context, Titus writes, Paul writes to Titus, with this knowledge, with this information, you should live godly, holy, what, in this present evil age. And the degree that you live is based upon what? The decree. So he embeds, yes, we should live righteous, identified with Christ. Amen. And somebody say, I did this, I didn't sin. Well, you should get no credit for that because God calls you not to sin. And we said, God, anything that you did, anything that you say, God, oh, I did this, and I could have messed up, but I didn't. Give God the glory. Because if God didn't put the reins on your depravity, you would have done it, you would have done the opposite. So it all goes back to the glory of God. So in conclusion, the gospel of the grace of God should always focus on what you did, what God did for you in eternity. That's the language of grace, that you were saved in eternity. But if you go back to the other writings for doctrine, you will come out with the fact that, oh, you're going to try to please God. You already please God because he chose you in eternity before the foundation of the world. The fact that God chose you, you already please him. The fact that he chose you. So embedded in the what? Embedded, the indicative, who you are in Christ, shall always drive the imperative. The more you learn about who you are in Christ, you can identify with Christ. And the goal of grace is what? To identify with what he did for you in eternity. And that's why the knowledge that you will receive in our contract, the grace contract, that knowledge will cause you to truly believe that, and to be sure to focus. The whole Bible is true. But in today's day of grace, it should burn in our heart that the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.
Glory! Glory! Glory!